Amen. I want to get to the word here, Matthew, the 18th chapter. So many times, Jeff doesn't know what I'm going to talk about. But how many knows the Holy Spirit's in charge? And the Lord put it in my heart, we are going to the 6th chapter of the book of Ephesians. But there are some things that God wants to establish our hearts in about 6th chapter of the book of Ephesians. Amen. And one of the things I'm going to bring out, the four walls of God's protection in our life. So, you know, and you, some of you probably already know this, but I'm going to get into this after the scripture reading, and we possibly may get to 6th chapter of Ephesians today. If not, I promise you I'll get to it next week, unless I have to break my promise when if God moves on me, I don't know. But amen. Praise God. May God read the blessing of his words. The 18th chapter of the book of Matthew. And we're just going to start with one because I just can't read part of this and then not get it all. Amen. It says this. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus saying. So they came to Jesus and had something to say. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Uh-oh. That wasn't a real good question. Amen. Because we already know who's the greatest. Jesus, right? That was kind of a stupid question, really. When you think about it. And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. Now this is important because it has everything to do with us. God points out something. And he said, notice he said something. Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, what Jesus was really saying was that unless you accept Jesus for what he is and what he came to do, and then allow yourself to be changed from the inside out and be teachable. See, you notice how a little child, that you can teach him anything. That's why the communists go after the children, to brainwash them. And we see that somewhat in our own schools, where we got, and we also see it in our colleges. It's a real problem. Somehow we got to penetrate this thing and get back to what Jesus wanted us to do in our country. And that is put God first. Hallelujah. Can everybody say praise the Lord? So he says, unless, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. In other words, you got to be teachable and you got to understand the things of God. You got to be able to listen to who's over you in the Lord. You got to learn not to shut people off just because you think you know it all. You got to come out of this world's pride and let those, that wrong thinking, be humbled under the mighty hand of God. The Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and he will exalt you in due season. Did you know there's a due season? There's times in your life that you go through things that you have to allow God's humbleness to operate in your life to get to the finished work of the cross. If you're going to have God's best in your life, how many of you want God's best in your life? You got to understand the cost. You got to understand the selflessness. You got to understand how to lay down and become like a little child. You got to understand spiritual warfare and the sacrifices it takes in our own will and our own lives. And I don't know about you, I'm just starting to learn about that. Hallelujah. It's not that I'm working my way to heaven. It's allowing heaven to work in me. Heaven's already here. The kingdom of God is here. Amen. And I want to see to it that I can operate in this kingdom. You know why? Because the Bible says, he that abides in me and I abide in him, he shall ask what he wills and it shall be done unto you. You're not going to ask for something out of line with God. And you'll ask the right thing. You'll have it in a flash. Everybody say amen. Now notice, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Because what the real truth of the matter is, our greatest potential is being like a little child and allow God to work through us what God wants to work through us to make us the greatest. It's not about the pride of this world. It's about laying down our lives and our self-will and allowing God to move in our lives the way he wants to move us. Can everybody say amen? And he says, whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. I believe he was talking literally about that little child because it's innocent. And also those who have been converted. Because, you know, a lot of times when you see someone get converted, they're not always living out the type of Christian ethics that you think that should be when someone gets saved. A lot of times you're not at the level, they're not at the level of full growth like you are. There's conditions in their life that can't always fulfill everything they want to do for Jesus. And by the way, you have not walked in their shoelaces. You just pray for them, put them in the hands of Jesus. I am surprised how quick we give up on people. Amen. I realize there's some people you just got to let them go to God. Paul prayed that. He turned them over to the buffings of the devil for the saving of the soul. So that by chance they're going to change. And it only took the buffetings of the devil to do it. Amen. Do you know that's God's last resort? The Bible says that he leads us to repentance by his goodness. God's last resort is to allow a city to get destroyed or one of his children be destroyed because of the sin that's in their life. I just thought I'd bring that out. That's the last thing God. It's only because the devil has such a big part in our life that God can't get through with his grace. It's not God not coming through. It's you not coming through his grace. Hallelujah. I doubt if I get to the sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians today. Amen. But whoso shall offend one of these little others which believe in me. Now you got to be careful. There's a difference between how you think people should operate in God and where they're at spiritually. You got to be careful. I made the mistake coming at somebody. It just wasn't where I was in the Lord. And it was probably my lack of understanding, lack of wisdom. And came at him in a legalistic way and lost him. You know what? Oh, did I ever get a spanking out of that one? But you know, I learned something, that I wasn't so much greater than they were just because I thought I was doing better than they were. That's where you can lose your place in the kingdom of God and forfeit it and give it, turn it over to them. You, who are you out there? And there's wisdom in that, because that's what Jesus is pointing out here. We need to be more concerned about what Jesus wants to do in their life than what they're actually doing. It's not always what we see, feel, and hear, but it's what we know to be true about their convictions. Amen. I know a lot of people that are born again that aren't where they're supposed to be in the Lord. Amen. But we need to look for grace in the sight of God. Amen. But who shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me? It were better for him that a millstone were hung about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Be careful with little baby Christian. That's all I'm saying. And you know, God knows your heart. You don't have to be so worried about, you know, every move you make. But we are concerned about Christians' growth, and we should be here for them as much as we possibly can. And notice what Jesus pointed out here was really important, the seventh verse. Woe unto the world because of offenses. Now, I want to talk a little bit about offenses, because offenses come. Look at your neighbor and say, offenses come. I'll tell you what, yesterday I was offended over something. As Christians, we're way too easy to get offended over little things. We're too overly conscious about things that ain't coming over right like they should be, like we think we should. Are you with me? Anybody ever had trouble with that? I think if you hadn't had trouble with that, you're not in the right ballpark. You're out there playing football, and you should be playing baseball. Amen. And the thing that concerns me is that offenses come. Everybody say offenses come. More than you like. But the important thing is how you react and what you do in the offense, and how you turn and what you listen to when the offense comes. Because I'm going to tell you, the Bible says Satan seeks the precious life. Did you know that the anointing that God's placed in your life is very sensitive? Did you know that the Holy Spirit can be, you can offend the Holy Spirit? How? By your actions and your words. Because unless the fruit of the Spirit is in it, and the willfulness to operate in the will of God concerning that, you'll lose that anointing. It'll, out the door it goes. Then there's a waiting period. There's a time. There's a time for it to come back when you realize, oh man, when I was younger in the Lord, there was always something major going on about once or twice a week. I'd go to church, get that anointing on me. I'd sew my tithe. But boy, come Tuesday or Wednesday, something happened. It just felt like, where did it go? You know what I'm talking about, don't you? That's the time to pray and walk circumspectly before the Lord, because the devil comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. Jesus said these very words. He said, protect your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. You know what the issues are? God's virtue flowing through you. You got to understand, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And it's you that God does the operating on, you and the people around you. You don't know that you might be a gateway for someone to pull them out of the jaws of hell. Amen. There are four walls of protection in growing in the Lord. I got to finish the scripture before I go into that. But I wanted to bring this point out so we can understand. We got to understand that we are protected by the power of God. But at the same time, we can get outside of those walls. Now, he said this, woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs that offenses come. Defenses are going to come. Look at your neighbor and say, they're going to come. Don't think you're ever in a halo place or a pie in the sky and everything nice. And if it doesn't work, why? Because Jesus says it'll happen. He says, needs be that offenses come, but, I like that word. He brings out another thing. Woe to that man by whom the offenses come. You ever read that scripture? Jesus said himself, cursed be the stumbling block. If you're being a stumbling block in somebody else's life of the eternal purpose of God in their life, woe. Whew, that's some strong words. I believe that we're delivered from the laws of sin and death, but I also believe that we need to walk in them. But woe unto those the offenses come, because it opens the door for premature judgment, premature curses, even though you might be delivered, saved in your spirit, but being destroyed in your flesh. That's why I spoke earlier about what Paul prayed for when there was something going on in their family and there was some immoral things going on. He delivered them. He prayed for them, but he delivered them over to the buffetings of the flesh that their soul might be saved. You know what their soul is? Their mind, their will, and their emotions. Amen? Some of us got our mind under control. Some of us have our will under control, but when it gets to our emotions, oh my gosh. Now, you know, I know this, you've heard this stuff before, but come on, we got to get a handle on our emotions. Because Christians have a way to go out these doors and act like crazy people when something goes wrong. Don't get mad at me just because I'm preaching real good. Because this is important. Look at your neighbor and say, this is important. Because if you want to walk and see the miracles that you desire and the things that God is putting on your life in this day and hour, we better take it serious. Amen? Because when we don't fulfill the will of God, we go without the glory of God. Isn't that right? It's not that we're going to go to hell, but you might live some of it right here on planet Earth. If you want to shut the door to the enemy, you recognize who you are in Christ Jesus and learn to make the right choices in the offenses. Because you can knock those fences down just like you play bowling. Everything that comes against you, you'll knock it down just like, and the devil can't come in. Do you know the devil couldn't find no place in Jesus? So he left him for a more appropriate time. Guess what? That appropriate time never came. Not that we don't ever allow the devil to have his own way. Sometimes we demand our own way. And so the devil takes advantage of it. Amen. Well, if you're going to do it your way, I'm going to come in there and cause more trouble. How many know when you give in to the devil one thing, he don't stop at one. He gets around six or seven more. What did Jesus said? Beware lest seven more devils come in. Some of you really know what I'm talking about. Some of you think it's just a religious thing. Oh, we're just, this is a good message, you know. But you know what? That could be the problem in your life. You're allowing too many devils to operate in your life that the grace of God can't get through, and the light of God's will won't break through in your life. And some of you are on the verge right now. You need breakthrough. You either get serious with God and play on his turf and say no to the devil. I have to preach this way. I don't know about you, but society is falling apart. If I don't trust God for the work, I won't have any work. Are you saying? I have to decree and declare that this is the way it is. Amen? And I have to demand my way into prosperity. Amen? You got to know who you are in Christ Jesus. And you got to say no to the devil, and you got to do what God says to do in order to receive it. And so goes for healing. So goes for peace of mind. So goes for your family. Spiritual warfare. If you ever get a chance, watch that movie War Room. I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard everything about it. And it sounds good to me. I'm on the go. Hallelujah. Because I think that movie is designed in these last days to motivate people to get in there and pray. Do I pray enough? No, I don't. But neither do you. I got that off. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And if some of you get like your little goody two shoes and you're really there, you don't have to worry about it. God will exalt you right here. You'll move up in a spiritual level where everybody start receiving from you. When you get to a place in your life that you become a blessing to all those that are around you, there's something going on in that man's life. And everybody look to you for Jesus. Don't be afraid when that happens, Joe. But in the process, behave yourself. Are you hearing me? And I don't just say that for Joe. I say that for Janet. I say that for Denise. I say that for Holly. And when you get close to the truth, that's when the trouble really breaks out. Because the devil does not like taking out of his comfort place when it comes to you. You got to understand, we're not just playing a game here. We're playing the real thing, amen? I like what Kenneth Copeland says, we're not playing a nine-inning game. We play until we win. That's pretty neat, isn't it? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, let me finish this scripture here. It says, wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut it off. Cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better that thee to enter into life halt or maimed rather than having two hands and two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. So whatever it is that's causing you to not see what the kingdom of God is all about, you need to cast it off, man. You know, and I say that to the sipping saints. They think, well, a little bit of alcohol ain't going to hurt you. Well, how about that guy sitting next to you that lost his wife and all his kids and as well as his job, had to go to jail because he done something crazy under the influence of alcohol? You think that's going to help him? In fact, the scripture teaches that a man of God should not touch it, not even practice it. If you see where the world's failing, that's the thing that you don't do. Hallelujah. Well, I guess I kicked over the sipping saints. Drink your wine and your beer, but I'm going to tell you something right now. You better be careful, and woe on who you offend. You better be careful what you say is right, because you may be the reason why that other person fell, because he ain't strong enough. Boy, I know I shook some people here. Amen. Four walls. The first one, the wall of protection that we have, and you'll see it in Jesus' ministry, is, now I want you to write these scriptures down and go over them this way. I'm going to give you some homework, is the Word. The Word. Well, I know that, Pastor. Then why aren't you doing it? I'm not saying you're not doing it, but let's do it, okay? One of the walls is God gave us the Word, and Jesus said this. I quote some of them, and you write this down, Luke 4:4. Luke, the fourth chapter, fourth verse. Jesus said these words, no man lives by word alone or by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We have to attend to his word, because if you don't do his word, you're going to fail. I don't care. His word is final authority. You got to make the word of God the final. That's one of the walls that you got to understand as a believer. And when we get to the sixth chapter of the Ephesians, you'll know why I'm establishing this truth in the word. Mark 4:4, the word. No man lives by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And you got to understand, there's not just the logos. You got to understand the rhema. How many here, since you've been saved, you got a revelation? That's the living word for you today. That's for you to press into, to see to it that that word's working in your life. See, what comes with revelation is coming to that level. That's why the religious sect of the church fights against it so hard. Well, I never seen it happen to everybody. Well, you're not everybody. You don't wait till everybody else is doing it, do you? You start doing it because you see it in the Word. Isn't that right? And if Jesus said it, you can do it. Isn't that right? Fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians. I charge you to meditate on that day and night, because you'll get more revelation about who you are, who you're called to, who you are to listen to, and what you can attain by doing it. Hello, are you out there? That's the first wall. Number two, the blood. The blood of Jesus. Everybody say the blood of Jesus. And the Bible says that without the blood, there can be no remission. So we have to have faith in the blood. That puts up another wall where the devil can't get to us. Because the blood of Jesus is what saved us from eternal damnation and judgment. And also keeps us cleansed from all sin. Now these people say you don't have to confess your sins. That's baloney. I see myself messed up. That's the first thing I think of. Boy, I got to get this right with you, Jesus. That'll keep you humble. That'll keep your eyes on him and get your eyes off yourself. Because I don't know if you know this, I'm not such a hot rod myself, and neither are you. You know, once you realize that you're only here because of the grace of God and you've obeyed the Lord and the Word, you'll hang on to that. You know, and the tithe becomes a lifeline to them, not because they're tithing alone, but they're believing what the Word says about it, and also keeping themselves unspotted from the world. This is good. It don't take a new building to get this. But it'll get us one. You see the difference? Do you see the difference? Jesus told me, the Lord told me, he says, until you start reaching people like I've called you to reach, and people are being ministered to all around you, when you start filling this one up, praise God, there'll be another one when you get ready. Hallelujah. And it's not about the pride of men. It's about the glory of God. Amen. And I don't know about you. I want to change independence, don't you? I want to see Holly change. I want to see victory in her life. Amen. Nothing less than success. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus came. He said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Satan cometh but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. That settles it. Amen. Hallelujah. The blood. There's all kinds of scriptures right down in Hebrews 9:22. Hebrews 9:22. That's the second wall. Y'all interested in what the third wall is if you don't have it up there already? I hope not. It's the name of Jesus. Woo! Peter said this is faith in the name is what made this man whole at the gate beautiful. He said, silver and gold have I none, but such that I have in the name of Jesus. Rise up and may it be whole. You know what? That man believed the word that that man said. And he had faith, and he joined his faith with Peter, and he rose up and got healed. Amen? When you get to the place that you're walking in the integrity of the Holy Spirit in your life, people will be made whole because they'll believe you on your words with in line with God's word, and they'll have faith, and they'll receive it right there. I remember one day I was at a job site, and I knew God wanted to heal that girl and take her right out of that wheelchair. Right that moment. But some jackleg, I'm poor English, I'm sorry. They had the devil on him, jumped in the room and started a bunch of commotion because that girl was about to receive her healing. That's why Jesus didn't have everybody in the room when they raised that damsel from the dead. Because some people were too full of the devil. They had interrupted the flow of the faith. And it disturbed that girl and she lost her faith. I have never lived that down since. Not because God's picking on me. I feel bad because I didn't bind that devil up. And I didn't go out there and told that kid, stay out of here. Don't come in here. He wasn't serving the Lord, and he wasn't God's people at that time. Don't think the devil ain't in these people, because when you're about to break through on something, that old devil, them demons start coming around. That happened to me. That girl started to get out of her wheelchair. I know exactly what happened that day. No, because when that guy got raised from the dead, that died on my job, there was nobody there but me. He got raised from the dead. Are you with me? No interruptions. Job done. Hallelujah. And I didn't come in here like I was some kind of spiritual dynamo. I just obeyed the move of the Spirit. Amen. There's times that God will move in the Spirit. You got to be like a child and do something foolish once in a while. Step out on the limb and allow God to do something different. That's what I like about Joe. And then you see God move. You say, wow, I didn't know God would do that. Well, you don't know it because you're not doing it. Okay, y'all want to know what the third wall is, or the fourth wall? We got the name of Jesus. We'll put down this scripture, Matthew 28:18. That's the name of Jesus. Okay, the next wall and the last is the Holy Spirit and his angels. Acts 1:8, Luke 12:8. The Holy Spirit carries out God's will in the earth and always leads us to Jesus. Amen? And his angels are ministering spirits given to those who are heirs to salvation to carry out his word in the and their spirits. And they're guided by the Holy Ghost. They work together. Hallelujah. You are waking up to God's clearing call in your life. And this time there will be no more stopping. You have that in your spirit. And God's done something ever since that night of the funeral. God's done something different. And can I encourage you? Better days are ahead for you. Hallelujah. And so goes for you, Holly. You're going to go back and you're going to get some things right. God's going to heal your body because you're coming like a little child. I don't care where she's been. Where you been? I'll tell you exactly where I was. Amen. That the last wall, the Holy Spirit and his angels. Amen. In his name, we have the authority. In the Holy Spirit, we have the power, the dunamis, to carry it out. Isn't that right? And we got to believe this. We got to believe it, and we got to act on it. The reason why we don't see as much manifestation is we're not believing it, and we're not acting on it. Some of us believe it, but we're not acting on it. It's called dormant faith. James says, you show me your faith without works, I'll show you my faith by my works. Amen? When you see people get beside themselves out there in the general public, and they act like they believe in Jesus, and they love Jesus, and they tell everybody about Jesus, they're not worried about what the other person's saying. They're talking out of the abundance of their heart. Now, I agree, there's some wisdom you got to use. You can turn people off. And you got to be led of the Spirit to do it right and appropriately. Are you with me? Because we don't want to offend anybody. You shut the door and, you know, you offend somebody, you won't get them back. They won't listen to you. Isn't that right? So we have to move in love. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are you all with me? It's 1:15. Anybody receive anything about this today? Well, let's stand in the presence of God.